Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn on this 16th of August 2015 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. I'm your host, Surreal Joe Quinn. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram at Riddle Gerald Quinn. We begin with the Nationals, who last night lost their fifth straight game, and right now are at dead even in terms of their record at 58-58, 500, four and a half games back behind the New York Mets. And, you know, to say the Nats are in trouble is an understatement. Right now, I mean, the only way they can get to the playoffs is by winning the division. 9.5 games behind the Chicago Cubs at the second wild card. I mean, the Cubs are not even the first wild card. The second wild card behind the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, NL Central is going to get three teams. Bottom line, NL Central is more than likely is going to get three teams in the playoffs between the Cardinals, Cubs, and Pirates. All of who have played, they'll be playing great this year, especially the Cubs have laid 1-9 straight. So the only way to get in is going to be through divisional play. If you're the Giants, if you're the Mets, if you're the Nationals, you're the Dodgers. The only way you're getting in is through winning a division. The Nationals right now, you know, you just can't, you know, it's hard to figure them out. They're starting to get healthier, but yet they're losing. You know, sometimes you come into years where you have high expectations and just things just start to break down. At the All-Star break, so the Nationals were in pretty good shape. The Mets didn't have a bat. And this is, you knew guys in the second half were going to start to get healthy, whether it be Anthony Rendon, Strasburg, guys of that nature. You have a guy who could be MVP in Bryce Harper. So you had to feel good about the Nationals and going into the All-Star break and coming out of the All-Star break. But all of a sudden, the Mets get Cespedes, Duda gets hot, and despite the fact that the Nationals have gotten healthy, they go into the tank. And to me, I'm looking at the Nationals, the bottom line is they are not good against good teams. Whereas the Cardinals, Giants, Pirates, they don't beat good teams. And at some point, you know, if this team wants to turn around, take that next level to becoming a championship franchise, getting to the World Series, possibly in winning a World Series, you got to beat good teams. And you got to beat quality teams. You know, I look at this team right now, again, 58-58. Today is a big game for them. They're facing Bumgarner. Bumgarner has been hot lately in San Francisco, especially at his own ballpark, facing a team that's playing for a playoff spot and for a division, for that matter. The Giants are closer to a division, 2.5 games out, than they are a wild card spot behind the Cubs. This will be one of these games that you can look back on and say, hey, our season was on the line. our season, we're struggling, lost 5 straight at 500. We beat the other team's ace to on the road to avoid a sweep. These are one of these games you look at and say, hey, this was a turning point. This is a big game for the Nationals coming up in a couple hours. Not that they lose this, that their season is over, but this, I mean, this could be, you know, to avoid a four-game sweep, which is rare in baseball as it is. Teams don't get swept. You don't see too many four-game sweeps in baseball, especially against two teams with playoff hopes. And the Nationals have just been pounded in this series. The Giants' offense has went wild on the Nationals in this series. And, again, you wonder if it's just one of those seasons, similar to 2013, where the Nationals came in with World Series expectations and just things just could not ever get, you know, getting everybody healthy. The bullpen, middle relief, getting Strasburg right. Scherzer hasn't been as good, though it still, you know, still has pitched to a level of where you of the contract and pitched like a number one, but it hasn't been as good as he was the first 2 months of the year. August and July have not been as good as he was in April through June. So, big game for the Nationals as they look to go over the 500 mark in the National League East and stay in contention for the division along with the New York Mets. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll have a lot to do in this busy Sunday of sports. PGA Championship. Jason Day will tee off at 2:45, so we'll talk about that and much, much more in this next edition of 1211 Sports Talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. Certainly a lot to talk about in the world of pop culture. Had the Power Seats finale last night. Also, Straight Outta Compton got some great numbers on that. Still have not seen the movie, but certainly the numbers show that a lot of people want to see it this weekend. We'll talk about those numbers. PGA Championship right now already is teed off in the final round, but the main hitters are still probably another 20 or 35 minutes away. It's going to come down to, you know, like it has been the last three majors, and that is Jordan Spieth. I mean, to me, Jordan Spieth, who is two shots behind Jason Day. Jason Day, by the way, you know, top five golfer, one on that list of best players who have yet to win the major, still very young, 27 years old. Both of these guys have played great in the majors. I mean, looking at Jason Day's numbers and the position that he's had after 54 holes, has been in a position to win every single major at the 54 holes. Of course, we look at Jordan Spieth, who, you know, is a couple putts away from possibly contending for a flat out Grand Slam. At that, you know, he makes a couple putts in the British Open. had the favor of Jordan Spieth. He's been great in final rounds in majors this year. Jason Day, and again, there are a couple other guys to keep your eye on. Justin Rose has won a major, so you keep your eyes on him. He's a guy that you know won't be shaken by the pressure. Martin Keimer has won two majors. He's four shots back. You can keep your eye on him. But to me, this is going to be a two-man. This is going to come down to two guys, Spieth and Jason Day. Can Jason Day get over the hump and win that first major of his career? Can Jordan Spieth cap off this magical year on one of the great years in the history of golf with three majors, with three out of four majors? And again, the smart money would probably have to be on Jordan Spieth, despite the fact that he's two shots back. Spieth, again, is a favorite to win this, despite being two shots back. Nobody of note. You know, maybe Rory can make a run. Rory came into this round at 6-under. Mickelson right now is 5-under. So unless one of those guys just does something crazy, the winner is coming out of the last pairings, the last two or three pairings. You know, it's going to be Spieth, Keimer, Day, Rose, those guys. A couple of those guys I don't expect too much out of. With Matt Jones, Tony Finau, who are relatively new to this as far as Grand Slam pressure. Dustin Johnson. Now, Dustin Johnson is very interesting. He keys off at 218. He's 9-under, six shots back. Not a lot of pressure on Dustin Johnson right now. Because, you know, Dustin Johnson came into this tournament and did what Dustin Johnson does in major tournaments. He leads after the first or second round and then fades in the third round or fades in the second round, and you basically don't hear from him. Now, you know, he hasn't faded. At the lead after the first round, other guys just got hot. I wouldn't say he faded. But he's not that far off. I mean, Justin Johnson's capable of going out there and shooting a 65 or 64. He has that type of ability. I wonder how he'll play, considering that all the pressure's not on him. Like, the pressure, he has no pressure on him to win right now, being six shots back. All eyes are going to be on Spieth and Day and Rose and Keimer and guys of that nature and guys of that ilk, Brendan, Matt Jones, Brendan Grace. So, you know, Dustin Johnson's a very, very interesting position right now where he's still within striking distance without having the pressure to win this particular tournament. Again, Jason Day will tee off around 245. Spieth will tee off around. We'll also tee off at 2:45. They are in the final pairing. Two of the brightest young golfers in the world. Jason Day looking for that elusive major. I shouldn't say elusive because he's only 27 years old. But looking for that first major win. And Jordan Spieth again looking to cap off what has been a absolute historic year. And looking for a third major at only the age of 22 years old. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. Again, you can always go to iTunes.apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. Rate and review our program. It doesn't matter. I respect all opinions. You have your opinion on the show. I certainly will take a look at it. So, but again, go to iTunes.com, iTunes.apple.com to rate the program, give your comments, any comments that you may have. A couple programming notes. Still have not decided on a season premiere of the program. Probably going to be, I would say the first weekend in September. I would say probably September. We're looking right now at September 5th as being the target date for the season premiere of season 8 of the show, more than likely. But stay tuned for that. We're going to continue previewing, doing NFL previews coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. So a lot to do in the next couple of weeks in regards to 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. When we return, participation is not enough. That and Ghost is Dead coming out, and coming out that, and so much more coming up on this latest edition of 12 and 0 Sports Talk. It's your Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. On this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on the 16th of August 2015. A couple headlines. Phillip Rivers signs a 4-year, $83 million contract extension with the San Diego Chargers, $65 million guaranteed. There had been a lot of speculation on, especially during the draft, whether Rivers would be traded. He came into this before this contract was signed. It was on the last year of his deal, but San Diego does the practical thing and absolutely the right thing and locks him up basically for the majority of the rest of his career in terms of his prime years, 33 years old. Rivers, listen, he's been outside of the big four. He's probably, or the big five, he's probably the best quarterback in the league. I mean, you put Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger. Take those five out, and Rivers is probably at the top of that next core in terms of guys that you look at. As Mickelson holds an eagle on 6 to go 7 under, guys that you look at as being top players. I think he's better than Romo. I think he's better than Eli has the 2 Super Bowls, so you have to put Eli ahead of him from that standpoint. But regular season-wise, he's been better than Eli. So Rivers is certainly deserving of that contract. And if you're San Diego, there's no way you can afford to lose a guy of that ilk. You let him walk and become a free agent. You just can't do it. I mean, he has carried that franchise since the decline and since LaDainian Thompson left a few years back. He has absolutely been the face of that franchise and has carried that franchise despite some of the dysfunction within front office, despite, the talk every year of them moving to L.A., despite everything, defense, guys' injuries, and despite not really outside Antonio Gates not having really big-name offensive players on his team, Rivers every year is going to be at around 64%, 65% completion, 30 touchdowns, and over 4,000 yards. I mean, you could just – the most important thing in terms of the quarterback, he's never injured. He is never injured. I believe he's made like 144 straight starts. He's always available, durable, tough. He's a big-time player. And a guy who I think is going to fit once his career is over will be a Hall of Fame player. James Harrison makes his sons give back their participation trophies. This is just great, great parenting. It's like, hey, you don't just, we live in a world now where, it was getting ridiculous, where if you have kids or you're part of different activities involving kids, you would see, and no matter what it was, especially at the youngest ages, you see these kids get these, not just only first and second and third place trophies, fourth place trophies, fifth place trophies, participation certificates. And it generationally, it just gotten soft to a point where it's okay just to try. Just give it the old college try and that's okay. here you have a guy, obviously, who's won a Super Bowl, been defensive player of the year, say, been defensive player of the year back in 2008, say, hey, it's not good enough. I'm not raising my sons just to be happy about trying. I want to teach them to excel, to keep fighting, and teach them competitiveness at a high level. And you have to applaud him for that. Now you're gonna have the other parents that say, hey, that's abuse, mental abuse, not being proud of your kids. They should be happy about giving. Sometimes the old college try is not good enough. So if you try your best and don't make it, what's the next step? How do you get better? And that, so I give James Harrison a lot of credit for pushing his kids beyond what they feel like they can do. Not enough of that going on in today's society, to be honest with you. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of Sports Talk. 12-11 Sports Talk features Surreal Joe Quinn. When we return, we will get into the season finale of Power and talk about a possible send-off for the Mamba. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk features Surreal Gerald Quinn as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, of course, last night. And this is definitely a spoiler alert. If you have not seen the episode 10, season 2 of season finale of Power, for the next, I would say, about 3 to 5 minutes, you might just want to just turn down the volume on the show and get back to us at around the at around 2:27 or so. So just a complete spoiler alert if you have not seen the season finale of Power as season 2 concluded with a solid night. All-time classic season finale. And the reason why I bring this up, and this is what happens. I understand Courtney Kemp, Agbo, wants to promote the show. She wants to promote the show. She's a showrunner. That's her job. But, she was promoting this, and the hype on this is at an all-time high as far as the twists and turns, and people are going to be shocked. And I didn't walk away. And again, very good episode. I think it was better than last year's finale, and I think this season overall has been better than season one, to be honest with you. And nothing from last night's episode would change that. I do have a couple of issues with some characters moving on to season three, but nothing really shocked me. I mean, I was thrown off a little bit by Ghost killing, a couple of his organization members. I did think that it was Lobos' rival taking out his people. So that was a nice twist in terms of writing, but it made perfect sense from Ghost's standpoint to get rid of people who were connected to him and who knew who he was. It's delusional, but it did make sense. But outside of nothing shocked me. 50 Cent, I expected him to die. I thought it would have been devastating to the story for his cat. Now, again, he might not be dead. That's a problem that I do have. The fact that we don't definitively know whether or not he is dead. I thought he definitely should have been dead without question. Should have been killed off the show moving forward. Tommy or Angela, one of those two characters had to go in my mind. And I wouldn't have had a problem if both of them would have been thrilled. I think the whole Angela, you know, Jamie relationship has run its course. She knows he's ghost, and he knows that, you know, he's never, and that's the whole thing about the story. That's the whole thing about this story. He is never, ever going to be clean or free of the drug world. And I guess that's part of what they're trying to say. His delusion and thinking he's going to be out. He's never going to be out, ever. So I don't know how, moving forward to season three, that relationship is going to get, that story of that relationship is going to be told. I think that has been exhausted. She knows she's ghost. She can't. It's always going to be, I shouldn't be with you, but I can't leave you. I'm not going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest, but not completely honest. Both of them are always going to be walking that tightrope as far as their relationship goes. I don't feel like, again, I think now at this point you're keeping her character around out of just sheer popularity of the character. I could have made a case where Tommy could have died this season, but I had no problem with the Tommy storyline continuing on. Because it made sense that either he was going to either get killed or just completely disassociate himself from Ghost, and you have a Tommy versus Ghost. I can buy moving to season three. Tommy versus Ghost. I can see that, and I have no problem with that. But again, keeping Angela to me makes next to zero sense. Makes no sense. So I have a problem with that particular storyline. Other than that, you know, season finale was a very good, it was a good episode. We saw, again, Kanan's number two guy, Dre, going moving over to Ghost. We saw that coming like probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. That's no surprise. That's no shock. Ghost gets back to clubs from Stern. Not a big surprise, though. Probably haven't seen the last of Stern with that situation. A solid season finale, great second season, but I just don't like the Angela character and that relationship with Ghost moving forward. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, more dysfunction in Jetland. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Cyril Joe Quinn as Bubba Watson birdies to 13 to go 7 under, so trying to make a nice push to probably maybe crack the top 10. He's not going to have a chance to win the tournament in this PGA Championship. Dustin Johnson's 9 under. We'll see if he can make a run to possibly make a run to put some pressure on the guys at up top in this final round of the PGA Championship. I have not seen it yet, but the reviews and the numbers have been staggering, to say the least. $56.1 million it cleared first weekend, and that will even include the Sunday numbers, but Friday through Saturday numbers, or really Thursday night. I'm sure they had a couple of joints late Thursday night through Saturday. Been getting great reviews all around. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 87%, which is a high number. The fans even gave it even higher on Rotten Tomatoes at 96%, and normally the fans give it a higher number than the actual critics, but still 87% is a very high number for a movie. You see Dr. Dre's album, which I have heard Straight Outta Compton. It's a great album. So F. Gary Gray, who directed Friday, you know, breaking in a couple unknown actors into this. This is big for the music industry, for hip hop, to get this acclaim out of a movie. I'm trying to think, what was the last big time hip hop movie that got this kind of attention? It's hard to be hard pressed. I know Notorious did not get these kind of reviews. I remember that, you know, it was an okay movie to say at best. It's going to go down for, you know, one of all time classics as far as popularity and as far as the numbers that they're going to do when it's all said and done. I mean, they were going up against like Mission Impossible, okay? So you knock Tom Cruise out of the block for number one. That's doing something. It's going to crack well over. Their final numbers, they're going to do well over $150 to $200 million. That doesn't include what they do worldwide. So it's already a hit, and already a major hit. Again, a movie that I will have to see. It's going to have to see this week. The opening number is $56 million. That's a big deal for hip hop without question. Certainly taking some of the attention off the Drake and Meek Mill's battle, if you want to call it that, and focusing on something that's actually producing high level content, and that is Straight Outta Compton, of course, directed by F. Gary Gray. You had Ice Cube's son playing him. For the most part, Paul Giamatti, I know, played one of the managers, but for the most part, a lot of fresh faces, which you like to see in Hollywood. Like to see a lot of fresh faces get breaks in Hollywood. So you get to see that with this particular film, and particular opening. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, of course, earlier this week you had one of the most bizarre and outrageous locker room situations that you'll ever see, with Geno Smith getting his jaw broken by I.K. M. Kapali, who was a six-round draft choice, a guy who was basically a practice player as far as that type of player. Frankly, it's unheard of in today's NFL that a starting quarterback gets his jaw broken by a guy who, as Justin Johnson, gets an 8 on the first hole. Justin Johnson gets an 8 on the first hole, goes from 9-under to 5-under, and just kills any hopes that he has contending. That guy, I mean, million-dollar game, 10-cent head. That's all you can say about Justin Johnson. It's just amazing how he comes apart at the seams in the pressure moments of these major tournaments. It typifies the culture of the Jets that a starting quarterback would get his jaw broken over $600. A lot of people, of course, went and said, you know, how could this no-name touch the quarterback? What is he thinking? You can't punch a quarterback, so on and so on. And I'll take the other side, because you think about it. He blows off his charity, number one. And number two, he stiffs him for $600. $600. I mean, Geno Smith probably has shoes that cost more than $600. Certainly, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, if you're a leader of a team, if you're the quarterback of a team, give the guy his money. And the guy is, you know, I understand Geno Smith had a personal commitment as far as had a personal situation. They said he had a funeral to go to. Okay, you had to go to a funeral. You had to go to a funeral. You can't make the charity. The guy has rolled out the red carpet with the limo, the flight, the whole 9 yards. It's not like it's seven figures. It's $600. $600. Everything you heard about, you know, the comments within that locker room said Geno deserved it. Said he was pointing his finger in this guy's face. This guy is 6'1", 272 pounds of muscle. And this guy, keep in mind, has a history. He hit a cop. Okay, so this guy has a sketchy background to begin with. Everybody in that locker room knows that guy. That guy is nothing to play with. If you had the guts to hit a cop, then you certainly will hit a marginal starting quarterback. It's not Tom, you know, forget about Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith, a guy in many cases, and many people on that team don't even think he deserves to be starting over Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Smith's out 6 to 10 weeks, typifies the Jet culture, which was inherited by Todd Bowles. And before you can talk about wins and losses, Todd Bowles is going to have to change that entire culture of the New York Jets before you even talk about the on-the-field stuff. This is the type of stuff that he's going to have to rein in as the head coach of that franchise. Because, this is what the Jets have become, one joke after another. And, you know, you think about winners and losers in this, and there is a winner in this, not on the Jets. But the winner of this situation is the New York Giants and Pierre Paul, because you take the Giants and Pierre Paul off the back pages with this situation, and the fact that he, you know, blew off a finger playing with fireworks, that situation goes completely out, basically, you know, just completely blew that situation away, and now the Jets, for the rest of the training camp up until the regular season, will be on the back pages behind this nonsense. Call number when we return. We'll get into a little NBA, Kobe and Rio. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Teeing off at the PGA Championship Day is two shots ahead two strokes ahead of of Spieth for the lead. Nobody right now is really making a dramatic run out of those earlier groups that teed off earlier in the morning or in the early afternoon. We mentioned, you know, Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson are making nice runs, but nothing that can contend for to win this thing. Dustin Johnson had an 8 on the first hole, so he's finished as far as any major contention moving forward. And Rory McIlroy, again, not really within striking distance. Does have an outside chance of being finishing in the top ten if he has a big round, but not going to contend for this championship. So again, looking at Spieth, Day, Rose, Keimer, those particular guys that should decide this tournament this afternoon early into this early evening. A couple things out of the NBA before we get out of here. You had U.S. Olympic pre-camp at a blue-white game earlier this week. LeBron James, Steph Curry, those guys showed up. One guy who was not there, but who all of a sudden has interest in possibly playing in 2016 is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, of course, spoke to Jerry Colangelo, expressed that he might have an interest in playing in 2016, said, you know, he would want to earn his spot on there. I guess that would be the final. I guess I don't think that gives you any more insight on whether or not Kobe Bryant will return to the NBA after this season. He could, you know, easily retire after the Olympics, and that'd be it. But you know, it does give me sense that he does want to keep playing. You know, he could easily just say, you know, he's won 2 gold medals. There's nothing else to prove, so it does give you a little insight that he's feeling good about playing and excited about playing again. He doesn't need any more accolades as far as winning another. You know, what's another gold medal? What's 3 gold medals versus 2 gold medals? It'd be different in a situation where he had never won a gold medal and wanted to finish. That was the one thing that was not on his resume. That is not the case. He's already won 2 gold medals. So I think it's a case of, you know, Kobe may, you know, be feeling good physically and may want to extend his career past 2016. We'll see what happens with that. NBA schedule, of course, came out this week. Lakers, despite 61 losses, will be on national television 19 times, just the power of the Laker brand dictates that. You have, of course, Cleveland and Golden State are going to be on their most television 25 times plus. They'll play Christmas Day at Golden State. Some great, you know, some good matchups. Chicago, Oklahoma City, Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook, and hopefully a healthy Derrick Rose. Lakers, Clippers. You see Lakers and Clippers. So you have a good slate. San Antonio, Houston, they have a great slate of NBA games moving forward on Christmas Day. The NBA has gone out of its way to kind of soften the schedule for their players. Not as many back-to-backs, not as many 4 games and 5 nights. We'll see if that has any effect on how many injuries there are over the course of the season. Last year, the NBA had a litany of injuries. Really affected the course of, you know, the playoffs and the NBA season. Just a number of big-time players, all-star caliber players, could not finish the season, headlined by Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant. Kevin Durant, of course, participated at the camp, the USA camp, looked, you know, relatively healthy. I know didn't do too much heavy lifting, but he was out there playing, said he's basically at 100%, so that is great news if you're an NBA fan, particularly a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12 on Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. I will see you next time as we look forward to Season 8 of the program. Have a great Sunday and a great up and coming week. So long.